Some days in life we're hit by avalanches of problems that are too big for us. And this is what happened to Job in the Bible. And for about 37 chapters, he really got wiped out by problems that were too big for him. If you've caught the message there, one loss after the next came into his life. And before this, there's something going on between God and God's sovereignty over life and over problems. And God's sovereign rule even over evil and the devil. So that is dealt with in the first and second chapter of Job. I don't want to go into that a lot. You can read it. And it pretty much leaves us saying, I'm going to trust you, God. And I don't understand why that conversation happened that allowed Job to go through all of this. That's what we're left with, the opportunity to trust God. So we can trust God through the pain in our life. He's there to help us. He's there to love us through that time. If you go to the doctors, they'll say, you know, or the hospital, what's your pain level today? On a scale of 0 to 10, if it's a 1 or a 2, okay, put the lime in the coconut and call me in the morning. I'll tell you what to do, if you know that one. If it's higher and more painful, okay, they're going to say, we have to do something. You don't want to be living with the pain of 9 or 10 all the time. If you were to ask Job, what's the pain in your soul right now and the pain in your life emotionally? He would say 10. Right? No questions. And nobody would blame him for, you know, having that pain level that just was. Life had wiped him out. And so God lets us know in the Bible that he could help us when life overwhelms us, and he could also use us to help others. So today, taking a brief look at how the Lord helped Job, how a bunch of people tried to help Job and didn't do a very good job, so we can learn from what they did and to steer away from some of the thoughts and words they had when things you say to yourself or things you're going to say to somebody else when they go through a really rough time. So I think Denise has that clicker still, so I'm going to get that real quick. Thank you. And one of the things God's Word tells us right off the bat, daily painful trials are a normal part of a fallen world. Everybody has experienced these since early in history, since Genesis 3. We don't like this, but this is the truth of how things are. I think of Woody Laufer. He was in this church for, 25 years. Faithful guy, followed Christ into his early 90s. And he was still glad to trust Christ, follow him, even though he had a lot of aches and pains. Him and his wife lost a son when the son was in their in 20s from a terrible accident at work. So he knew pain. And he said one day when he was facing the end of his life, he said, you know, the longer you live, the steeper the hill gets. And that's really true. It gets steeper, but God gives you the strength. Just take that next step of trusting him. Sometimes we just follow into his arms. And the trials we go through, he will help Job and even help Job's friends regardless of their response to the trial. That's something I'd like you to take and just jot it in your soul. God will help you help others, and he helped Job and Job's friends regardless of their response to the trial. So the point was, how tough can you be in this trial? How much faith can you have? The point is, God will help you, and he will be very faithful in this trial that you're going through. So, if you're going to write a book, write this book. This is a year in your life, 10,000 blessings, 1,000 trials. Jesus said, every day will have enough trouble of its own. And, you know, he said, storms will come, the water will rise on the house that's built on a rock and on the house that's built on the sand. Okay, the house that's built on a rock represents somebody who really loves God, trusting God, obeying God all over the place. Storm came. House on the sand, Guy says, I don't believe in God, I don't trust God, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Storm came. Storm hit them both. Ultimately had nothing to do with them. Had everything to do with God when the storm comes. So he's there to trust. He's there that we might follow into his arms. Okay, so you want to take the grading system off yourself in the trial and off your neighbor and put the grading system on God. His love and faithfulness there for us. We'll see this a little bit in Job's story here. God is the main character and hero in our trials. And as our hearts are breaking, we only have one place to go, really. That's towards God. Other people will help a bit. They'll be a blessing. They will. Our own faith will sustain us to a certain extent. But it's going to have to be the Lord get us through rough times. This is what happened with Job. And so there'll be tears, doubts, confusion, anger, and a little bit of trust in God. So here's some human responses to hard times, which you could expect your own heart to have, and you could expect the gal and the guy next to you to have. I've seen this in my own family, seen this in my own heart, I've seen this in most of you all. First response, not a good one, but it's there. When pain comes, curse God and die. I reject God, and I just want to have everything stop. This is what Job's wife said when all these bad things happened. And Job's response to his dear wife was not, go wash your mouth out with soap, or how dare you have such ridiculously dumb faith, or, you better repent. He said, you are talking like a foolish person. He says, you trust God because he brings good, and he's also over the things that are painful. Okay, so he points her to God. He doesn't reject his wife. His wife stays his wife. So stay in relationship with people who are losing it. Have merciful to yourself when you imitate Job's wife. If you've never done that, that's great. If you find yourself doing that, you're in the Bible. Okay. And God helped her in the long haul. A friend of Job came. He said, okay, Job, you lost your children. You lost everything you had. You lost your health. Let's talk about this. Job, should not your piety and your confidence be your confidence? Should not your piety be your confidence and your blameless ways your hope? Eliphaz is really acting like a Muslim at this point. A Muslim says, be good and life will be good to you. Okay? Do good and God will be good to you. That's a wrong focus in terms of the rescue mission of the Lord for Job. Okay? Job did do good. Nevertheless, a lot of bad came. Okay? So Eliphaz pointing Job in the wrong direction. And sometimes we point ourselves in the wrong direction when we look at our own behavior, performance, level of obedience, and say, this should have kept me out of trouble. God says, again, the storms and the creek will rise, regardless of our walk. Bildad says the same, pretty much gives Job the same advice throughout the book of Job. If you're upright, God will restore you. In other words, just turn to God and the trial will go away. Zophar, same thing, put away sin and God will lift your face. Certainly we're to repent all the time, but not just to get away from the pain in our life. So as you put that on yourself or another person, you'll see how the Lord says, we misspoke of God when we said that. We misrepresented God when we thought that. When we thought, if I just put away sin, all my troubles will be over. Elihu, who's the youngest one, says, the Almighty is beyond all reach. He does not oppress. Elihu pretty much talks about himself the whole time when he's talking to Job. And it wasn't very helpful. Elihu is full of Elihu. Instead of the Lord's help. It's like Denise recovering from a broken leg here. Elihu would come up to her and say, did I ever tell you about the time when I was 18, I broke my leg? And all the things that I did to help me in my broken leg, and, you know, and goes on and on about himself for a long time. And she says, you know, this is what she says, miserable comforter. Are you all, will your long-winded speeches never end? So to be there for a friend, but to not, you don't want to go on and on to the person in a lot of pain, or for that matter, talk to yourself endlessly. I've often thought how many of you have had this thought during worship when I was preaching. Will your long-winded speech never end? You're being biblical if you ever think that. Sorry. Certainly at a funeral, I'm sure people in pain, you know, the preacher's trying to give some comfort. And if it's too long, it's just like, just let me go back to the church and eat my scalloped potatoes, please. But Job's saying, look, this is not helping me. I don't feel closer to God when you guys are trying to figure out why I'm hurting so badly. And God, he jumps in and he says, All you friends, okay, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Here's Job saying, Lord, help me. I don't understand any of this, and I'm kind of angry at you, God. Now, what do I do? God says, my servant Job, his heart is toward me. You other guys, your brain is too big for your britches, you know. It's getting too rough for you. God is faithful, even when we say, Lord, why am I going through this? Why me? Often the Lord doesn't answer that. And, you know, as we look at Job, the way God can help us is not only in the book, but in the whole of Genesis through Revelation, and his merciful grace to us when he holds us up, you know. The Lord's really good. Our response to trials will often be like this. One of the disciples had this response. Lord, I won't believe until I see it. This was the great Apostle Thomas, who was, you know, interacted by Jesus after the resurrection. And Jesus encouraged him and said, Thomas, you believe that you see now. That's good. But others, they're going to have to believe and not see. And Thomas became a great leader to share the good news in the country of India. So he was a hero. So sometimes in a trial, if you say, Lord, I'm not even going to believe you're going to help me until I see it. God most of the time doesn't say, well, then forget it. I'm not going to help you. He'll help you anyway because he loves you. Like a little child in the nursery, you know, sometimes they don't act the right way when they have a wet diaper. We expect them to say, you know, raise their hand, and I'm wet, you know. Please help me, whoever's here. I'll wait patiently. Some of them cry, scream, try to bite you while you're trying to help them. Kick, throw the rattle, hit you in the head. You still help them. And if we, being evil, know how to do this for each other, how much more will our Father in heaven help us when we are beside ourselves? So he's very gracious. He loves us and will help us in the trial. We could say, Lord, what do you want me to learn? That's okay question to ask. But again, this dangerously puts you and I on the path of, if I just get it right, God will get me out of this mess. You know, if I just think the right way, pray the right way, and say the right thing, God will take all my problems away. It's not how it went down between the Lord and Job. God said, I'm faithful, I love you, and right now, I don't want you to learn anything other than collapse into my arms so I could help you. Okay, so sometimes we do that, and we do that on behalf of other people. And Job, for at least a while, you know, the first chapter he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then a chapter later, he said, cursed be the day I was born. So sometimes we're going to lose it again. But God didn't kick Job out of the relationship when he said, you know, cursed be the day I was born. I wish I was dead and I wish I was never born. Job said that. And God said, I still love you and I'm going to help you. And so God will say that to you. He'll say that to your friend. He'll say that to the lost person. I don't know if I could trust God. You know what? He loves you while you're working out your questions. And He'll be with you. And that's the way the Lord is. He's very close to you. And I want to say this. Job did a good example for us. And we're hot and cold with it. But that's okay. God draws us to Himself. When Job first responded, and there was no sin happening in his mouth, he said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." He didn't say, "The Lord gives, and the devil took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He chose not to focus on the devil. That's very instructive for us. Okay. He didn't say, "The Lord gave, and the bad guys came, stole my cattle. They were, they wiped out everything. And then my family got killed and the weather." He chose not to focus on those things. He said, "The Lord." And he worshiped God. He bowed down. And it was somehow a safe place. So in the greatest of pain you and I are in, sometimes the best thing we could do is just say, "Well, I'm just going to be close to God, until the storm passes." And God's faithful. And He understands, hey, our frames are but dust. He does give us the promise. He's close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if that's us or if that's another person, God, you could say, I know some of you who have sung or gave a testimony or you're out serving God every day, if you're going through a trial, guess what? God is really speaking through you. Because God speaks well through broken pottery. Yeah, He does. So thank you for trusting Him. And keep being patient with yourself. As sometimes we're like Job's wife, Job's friends, Job. But we do want to say God's faithful. He loves us no matter what. Let's pray together. Father, we feel the need of praying, talking to You. Job did this for 37 chapters. You didn't really draw too close to him until you decided to. Then he was quiet, and he said, "Well, I said too much." And Job became long-winded in his speeches too. But you were gracious to him. Thank You. Please be gracious to everybody. We know in a difficult trial. So many, pretty much every other pew has a major trial going on. Be faithful to them. Show Your love to them. We pray for some folks facing uncertainty. Judy Himmler, give her protection starting the chemo treatments. Dale Kerr, give him comfort to his brother and their mom when the brother faces life finishing on earth. Sustain Virginia Wilson, Mark Lazaro, and be grace to Gene Wygant, Carolyn Azevedo, for Marty Rogers, holding them close to Yourself. Jan Newman, being able to walk again with from hip replacement. Give sustaining grace to Mike Oriel, Sean Daniels, Carol Kamaker. These folks can't take a step without assistance. And You be their strength. Yvonne Blair, as she goes to the surgery time, give her comfort. And hear our silent prayers as we commit our souls to You, our trials to You. And we don't want to be the hero in the trial, but we do say Jesus is the hero in our trial. Hear our silent prayers.